Our reading this evening is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 to 36. And this can be found on page 403 in the Pew Bibles. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced, you, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but a few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Good evening. Thanksgiving. When I started looking at this passage, Dave knows very well that probably Chronicles is not my favourite book of the Bible, but when I came to look at it, I actually got more and more enthusiastic. And you know, the greatest thing about preaching is that you learn more and you get to actually study the Bible. While other people are going to work on the train in the morning, I'm studying God's Word. Now that's a privilege and a half, I can believe me. But I thought Thanksgiving, I'm a very visual person, so I like visual stuff. So I Googled, as you do, Thanksgiving. and a whole bunch of stuff came up. This has got nothing to do with the sermon whatsoever. But Phyllis Diller said that my cooking is so bad, my kids thought the Thanksgiving was to commemorate Pearl Harbor. That's a great quote, isn't it? Absolutely nothing to do with Chronicles 1 Chronicles 16 whatsoever. But it links with this morning's service. And Graham is at a wedding tonight, so he can't be here, but I would thank him from the front for what he said this morning. Because this is a fabulous verse. I have preached on this many times, Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a good place to be in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving gives us a little bit of perspective. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But when I started to look at 1 Chronicles 16, I was delighted because I wasn't going to be preaching on 1 Chronicles 16, because you actually get three psalms in 1 Chronicles 16 for the price of one song. This is David's medley. It is three psalms, and you've got the sources of 1 Chronicles 16. In, first of all, 1 Chronicles 16, 8 to 22, is Psalm 105, 1 to 15, almost word for word. In English and in Hebrew, it's the same. Verses 23 to 33 is Psalm 96. In fact, it's the whole of Psalm 96. Great psalm praising the Lord and giving thanks to him. Then you've got 1 Chronicles 16:34, and that's the first verse of Psalm 106. And verses 35 and 36 are the other end of Psalm 106, 47 and 48. So you have three psalms that the writer of the Chronicles actually puts together from three other psalms that we have in Israel's hymn book, or Israel's song book, or what would today be song pro, I guess, wouldn't it? Israel's song pro. We have these three different psalms: Psalm 105, Psalm 196, and Psalm 106. So after going up to All Nations and getting a commentary out on 1 Chronicles 16, coming back, having a look at what it says about that, I had to go back up to college and find the commentaries on the Psalms, which was a waste of petrol. Anyway, this, here you've got, this is what 1 Chronicles 16 is about. It's three Psalms all put together from the hymn book of Israel, the book of Psalms. And it is, I'm pretty geeky at times, and I went and put it all into Word, counted the words in 1 Chronicles 16 and counted the words in those three psalms and found there were six words different. So it is practically word for word the psalms. So what have we got? Here we have Rosemary read to us. This is the day, the most incredible day, when the Ark of the Covenant comes to Jerusalem. It is God's presence with his people. One day in your presence, one day in your courts, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. So the presence of God is coming to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. After fighting the Philistines, after fighting and fighting and fighting, finally, David comes to Jerusalem, the city of peace, and God comes to dwell with his people. Now, with Chronicles, there's a little bit of a parenthesis here, a bit of a hint. If you're reading Chronicles, go and look what the equivalent story is in Samuel and Kings. Well, in Samuel, actually, really, more than anything else. And this song ain't in Samuel. It's not in 2 Samuel 6. It's David comes to Jerusalem and does his dance and gets told off by his wife for stepping over the mark and dancing with not enough clothes on. But there's no song. So the chronicler, the guy who wrote Chronicles, wanted to put this song in here, because he wanted to say something to the people who he was writing to. Now that's important, because when there's a difference like that, you've got to ask, well, why? So why did the writer of Chronicles put this song in where probably one of his sources, 2 Samuel, didn't put it in at all? And the reason is probably in the historical setting of Chronicles. Now this is the people, probably the people of Israel, coming back after the 70 years of exile in Babylon, coming back into Jerusalem, coming back into a ruined city. Coming back, they're a small community, they're among all these nations. If you ever read in Nehemiah and Ezra, they're rebuilding the city, they're rebuilding the temple, they're surrounded by people who don't like them. Was it like Sanballat and Tobias? Do you remember them in Ezra? Anyone remember Sanballat and Tobias? I always call them Sand and Ballast. But Sanballat and Tobias, who were opposing them. And they weren't powerful. They were a very small group. Okay, they might have had Cyrus on their side, but he was in Babylon. They were on their own. And here they come back. They need to know that God is on their side. God's still with them. And was it a few, couple of weeks ago that Dave preached and said, you know, what has happened? What happened in the exile? Has God left us? Can we guarantee he'll be with us when we get back to Jerusalem? And they were concerned. They were worried. This was a group, small group of non-powerful people. We can look at it from our perspective, look back, and we know they built the temple again. And we know they were successful, but they didn't know. And this writer is probably writing to this people, and he's saying, God is still with you. He's still here. And when you're in a situation like that, and I often, when we pray, we pray together in the morning, Wilma and I, and the news depresses me. I shouldn't watch it, really. But my need to be informed overcomes my will to stay sane. And we watch the news. And you think, what's going on, God? What is going on in this world? Where are we as a church, your people? Can we be a shining light? And we're in a similar situation. We are surrounded by a hostile society. Not a hostile society like North Korea or Syria or Iraq, but it's a hostile society. And so the chronicler wants to encourage the people of Israel in their mission. God is still with you. He's still here. He's still committed to you. And you need to work out your mission in this world, rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple. Here we are. How do we encourage ourselves? Is there any reason to give thanks? Well, this whole passage, as Rosemary read it, screams out to you. Yes, there is a reason for thanksgiving. And we'll just go through and see. Because thanksgiving, as Graham said this morning, and it went straight into my head like a branding of a cow, it gives you perspective. When we give thanks to the Lord, we get perspective. Now, I thought, well, how can I illustrate this? So, when I got home from church this morning, I got onto the computer and I thought, yeah, I know how I'll do this. Here it is, this glorious, beautiful, green-blue planet. And unfortunately and typically, it has the United States of America in there. And we're just on the right-hand side. We are really small. When I used to explain how big Argentina was, it's 10 times the size of the UK. So we're small. Hartford, it's an important town, actually. I could bore you about how important Hartford is later. But we ain't no one, guys. We ain't no one. That's a double negative. We're not anybody, in fact. Well, because let me illustrate this. There's our nearest middle-aged star. It's called the Sun. And that's how big it is. And that's us. You know, remember, Britain, Hartford Baptist Church, right? That's all of us right there. In fact, and another 7 billion people. Because we're not that much tonight and we don't take much off the 7 billion. And there we are. Okay, so a little more perspective. Okay, here's a red giant and that's our sun. That's a red giant star. That's not the biggest star in the universe. And I can give you the distances if you like as well, because it gives you a little bit of perspective upon... There you go. There's the sun. Top, bottom corner on the left. That's how big we are, and that's the biggest star that we know about. That's the biggest star we know about, because that's the only in the known universe. Graham said he loves science. I'm not a scientist, but I love science, because every time I see a scientific program, I go, yeah. To the Lord belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens. And when God said, let there be light, he created the concept of light. All you those of you who are scientists, 180-something thousand meters per second is fast light. That's what he created. That's him. That's God. And that's the God who is on our side. That's the God who is on our side. That's our God. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was he who made all that. No, the one who died on the cross made all that. So when we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, that's who we're giving thanks to. That's who we're giving thanks to. Thanksgiving gives us a little bit of perspective on my problems and your problems and the world's problems. Give thanks to the Lord. It's a good job that he is good and his love endures forever. Okay, let's come back to Chronicles. First of all, I want to say thanksgiving is something that is done before the nations. Verse 8, give thanks to the Lord, calling on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Verse 24, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 31, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And in the context of the writer to the people in Chronicles, small group, among all these big nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength and splendor and might among the nations. You might look like a defeated people who have been taken 70 years into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar and later Cyrus, who let you come back. But he is the one who reigns. The Lord reigns. This is a declaration before the nations of who God is. This is the good news that the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And it's good news to the nations, because the nations are in rebellion against him. It is good news in front and before the nations. It tells of what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. What he has done. God saved Israel. He chose Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He saved Israel from that massive nation of Egypt. To the territory, if you read the first chapters of Exodus, the ethnic cleansing that the Pharaoh who did not know Joseph was trying to do. He saved them, all his marvelous acts. He gave them a land. He saved them when they sinned even. And if you go through Judges is not a nice book. Horrible Histories could make a really good series on Judges, I think. Anyway, I'd love to get involved in it. And eventually God says, no, run away to your own gods. You want to serve other gods? Run away. See if they'll save you. And the people cry out again. And the Lord saves them because of his deep compassion. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. It tells of what he has done. Illustration coming up in a few minutes' time because of what he has done. But it also tells us, not crossing it properly, what he's like. What is this God like? There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. I won't read through the whole lot. He's holy. And holiness primarily means he's different. He's different from all the other gods. All the other gods will beat up on you if you don't give them all the sacrifices they want. This is a different God. This is a holy God. This is not the ordinary type of God that you have among the nations. He's different. Yahweh is holy. He's strong. He can save. This will be up on the church website, so you can go and look up all the verses in 1 Chronicles 16 afterwards. He's powerful. He's strong. He can save you. He's able to do it. Wouldn't it be awful if God loved us so much, but he couldn't save us because he wasn't powerful enough? But he is. God is strong. He's faithful. Sorry, that is just one of the things that I love so much about God. I am so unfaithful to him. I forget him constantly, but he never forgets me. And these people back in the time of post-exile needed to know that God hadn't forgotten. He hadn't said, oh, forget that lot. I'll send them into exile. They may come back, but frankly, not interested. No, he is willing to engage with the people of Israel yet again. He's faithful. He's great. He's the one who spoke those hypergiant stars into being with a word. He's bigger than they are. A student, there's a philosophical term, which is basically a question that doesn't make sense. Could God lift a weight heavier than himself? Well, that's a stupid question because there isn't anything greater than God because he is great, splendid, majestic. He takes your breath away. Now, I don't know if any of you have read, probably most of us may have read C.S. Lewis's Seven Stories of Narnia, but has anybody read the space trilogy? Out of the Silent Planet? Perelandra? No? Oh, you really got to read these things. Man, you got to read them. Out of the Silent Planet, seriously, it will blow your mind. And there's the hero is going to see and meet an archangel. Just an archangel, not God, an archangel. And as he walks to see this archangel, he gets short of breath and he gets more and more scared. And he knows the archangel's good and not going to destroy him, but he's coming into the presence of something that is majestic. Okay, just multiply that by a factor of infinite. And you've got God, who is splendid and majestic. And finally, what's he like? He's good. That seems to me to be a bit of an understatement. But the Bible does say God is good. And he is the measure of what is good. He's not only good, he actually says what's good. And what he says is good is good. And finally, he's loving. He is loving. There is only one phrase in the Bible. There's only one attribute that God is called. He's just, but he's not justice. Doesn't say he's justice. He's good, but he's not goodness. There's only one attribute, and that is God is love. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but he first loved us and gave himself up for atonement for our sin. Illustration coming up. So he's what he's done, what he's like, but also who he is. And all of this comes down to, of course, who he is. He is the judge of the earth, verses 12 and 14. Because he is good, he can judge. He can say what is right and what is wrong, and he can say who is right and who is wrong. He is the protector of Israel. Again, when people protect something, they weigh up whether they're worth protecting or not. Those of you who know the story of Coventry in the Second World War and the terrible decision that Churchill had to make over Coventry. Was it worth it? Fortunately, not so many people died as they thought were going to die. But God protects. And he protected Abraham. He protected Isaac. Now, in Psalm 105 goes on to list all the other history of Israel. But the chronicler here actually stops and just has Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and forgets the rest because God's protecting the small, insignificant group of people. God is protector. He's savior. This is one of the definitive terms of God in the Old Testament. He is savior. He might use human beings, but he is the savior. He is creator. We've already looked at some of his creation. And he is king. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Luke 2, I don't know if you've come across this verse lately, but I've come across it a few times. May your kingdom come. Luke doesn't say, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But his kingdom is coming. The king has already begun to reign, Jesus Christ, when he came to earth the first time. He will bring together the culmination of his kingdom when Jesus comes again. So is there reason for thanksgiving? Well, yeah, I reckon there might be somewhere along the line if you read 1 Chronicles 16. All these things, who God is, what he's done, what he's like, and he is the one who loves us. He is the one who loves us. My brothers and sisters, don't let us get too familiar with that concept. Let it surprise us again and again and again. Because this God, the God of heaven and earth, is the God who's on our side. For the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Illustration coming up. And verse 33, and so what happens? Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns, let the sea resound, and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Now, of course, the psalmist who wrote that only knew this earth. David, incredibly, says, all heaven. Oh, the verse is going to go from my mind, I can tell it. All heaven declares the glory of the Lord. When I see the stars, that's Psalm 19. Psalm 8, when I see the stars that he has set in place. They didn't know anything about these hyper, super gigantic stars that we just looked at. And all of them rejoice. I don't know if you know, there's a thing called a pulsar, which is a star that sort of making noises. That is the creation praying, praise God, praise God, praise God. The earth, the heavens cannot help giving thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love endures forever. So what does all this mean? It's all interesting and exciting stuff, but it is for me anyway. Thanksgiving is a missionary act. It declares among the nations that the Lord reigns. Whatever it may look like on this planet, the Lord actually does reign. The people who first heard these words that were written by the writer of the Chronicles thought, where are we? We're in a bunch of ruins. The nations are stronger than us. But it says that the Lord reigns. So when we give thanks to the Lord, when we declare his mighty acts among the nations, we are declaring that God reigns. To the ends of the earth and beyond, the Lord reigns. This is a missionary act. So it is part of our mission here at Hartford Baptist Church to declare the wondrous acts of God, what he's like and who he is, that the world may know. Because the world at the moment is probably watching Countryfile. But we declare the Lord reigns among the nations. Thanksgiving brings perspective. On a personal level, thanksgiving brings perspective. It may be hard if you're going through dark times. But this is the time, the dark times, when God shines his light into our lives. What we have in salvation, simply that, is far beyond riches. It brings us a bit of perspective upon the world. Not just how powerful and how great God is, but how much he loves us. That is the message of 1 Chronicles 16. And thanksgiving declares who God is, what he has done, and what he is like. Therefore, to really give thanks to the Lord, we need to know him. And this is why we meditate upon God's word, we read God's word, we study God's word, we pray to him, we confess our sin, all those things in order to know him better. And of course, to give thanks to him. And getting to know him better, we turn this theology, but that puts a barrier between us. But actually, it is knowing the God who we love. And I personally like talking about my wife, because she's lovely and I love her. What about talking about God, because we love him more than anything else in the world? And he is worth giving everything to. He's worth it. More than you can get from L'Oreal. He is worth it. So let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Let's pray. When we start thinking about who you are, O God, our Father, we are overwhelmed with a sense of the inadequacy that we have as your worshippers. But you accept our worship. You accept our thanks. You accept our praise. Not because of who we are, but because who you are. And we want to worship you for who you are, for what you have done, for what you're like. And we want to, with all creation, give you thanks. And most of all, we want to give you thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come to this earth to live amongst sinful human beings, to die at their hands, to forgive them, and to rise again that we may have full life. We want to dedicate ourselves to you. We love you, our Lord and our God, and we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.